Welcome to Season 3 of Retrain Your Brain with me, Chartered Psychologist Dr. Audrey Tang. This series gives you 10 minutes on my couch while we use psychology to explain, predict, and change behavior so you can live your best life. In today's podcast, I thought I'd give you an insight into positive psychology and what exactly it is that I do. Now, I am a positive psychologist in both the adjective and the noun. I love it when people come away from coaching or training or interviews saying, I feel really great after talking to you. And I do try to be the proverbial happy bunny. But I'm a firm believer in the positive psychology school of thought. Positive psychology really came about under Martin Seligman. He was chair of the American Psychological Association and is known as the father of positive psychology. Now, he thought that psychology at the time, around the 80s, was half-baked. He said the field focused so greatly on psychopathology and that the idea of psychology was that it was simply to reduce symptoms or restore normality. And that missed out on so much potential. Psychology could really begin to explore happiness, what allows individuals to go beyond normal, what helps them to thrive. And looking at happiness and contentment would mean that psychology could also help prevent and protect as well as potentially cure. Even when I was studying psychology in the early 90s for my A-levels, this would be the common approach. We would look at psychopathology. In other words, these are all the things that are wrong, in inverted commas, and how psychology works to make them normal, also in inverted commas. But since that point, I know in my own reading, in my own experience, and certainly in what I enjoy, looking at what allows us to grow and how ordinary doesn't need to be what we need to settle for, that's been so beneficial for me and it's been beneficial for my clients. So, as such, under Martin Seligman, positive psychology, or the science of happiness, was born. And currently it does sit hand in hand with traditional mental health interventions. Positive psychology as a support system has three key streams. It looks at the generation of short and long-term healthy pleasures, which actually act as a good substitute for any unhealthy behaviours one might be involved in. It looks at joy through connection with others, and this is now looking at in real life connections as opposed to the online ones, which seem to be less meaningful. And of course, it looks at happiness from discovering our purpose. The power of positive psychology rests within neuroscience. It's research which demonstrates the plasticity of the brain. Psychopathology means certain pathways in the brain are firing, and it is possible with practices such as gratitude, mindfulness, physical activity, all of the healthy things, to change them. And that can also change one's reported mood. Research has shown in neuroscience that repetitive negative thinking causes one pattern of brain activity, but repetitive positive thinking can produce another. It can even be physically seen in the brain. When someone's trust is broken, so can those pathways be dissolved. This is how dynamic our thoughts can be. And incidentally, to restore someone's trust, it needs to be done through restitution. In other words, rebuilding what had been lost. If you'd stolen money from me, I want that money repaid. If you'd broken my heart, I kind of want your love back. And that can actually speak to some of the issues in psychopathology too. So positive psychology has a real role in informing how we think, which can also help with treating mental illness, but it also allows us to focus on the positive, and even if we're not ill, we can thrive. Positive psychology also looks at medication, because medication has the effect of stimulating or suppressing brain activity. And Seligman found that patients who chose a combined treatment plan that included medication and therapy recovered sooner. This is because, and this is my thinking too, the somatic approach, the medical approach, can be providing a mask while it's in use, and it doesn't really teach us ways of dealing with the emotions or the overwhelming feelings. And certainly later in 2012, Schneider et al. Added happiness as a treatment goal, which in turn has been the catalyst for psychometrics such as the well-being scale, and so those measurements are now used as well. There are four strategies that positive psychology tends to use, and this is where its approach to treatment also focuses. Number one is strengths. In other words, finding and unlocking our inner resilience and inner strength, which can also include family counselling because the family network can be such a source of support. The next is quality of life, finding meaning and purpose as the foundation for your life goals and achievement. Then comes hope, which is ensuring that clients and people in general can generate a positive or hopeful attitude, because this enables us to stay focused and actually helps us manage life's roller coaster. We know we have the resources and we know that we have it in us to cope. And finally, it looks at well-being, which is a sense of environmental mastery. In other words, what we do has an effect. And this enables us also to have engagement with the world and through this find personal satisfaction. And certainly all the techniques, if you listen back through all of my podcasts, they all focus in one or more of those four key areas. Which brings me on to intervention techniques. Now, many of these are given in the practical part of my podcast. They are given in the practical part of my articles. They include things like reflection and journaling, looking at our narratives. Narratives are so important because if we reflect on our perspective as well as our description of events and that of others, we can begin to deepen our understanding of ourselves and those around us. I always ask my clients to think about what story is someone telling me and what story am I telling myself? Other techniques include mindfulness and gratitude. You already know how much I value the gratitude practice, and I do it in the form of a gratitude stretch, just simply stretching out and thinking about one person I'm grateful to have in my life or one thing I'm grateful to be doing today. And by doing this often, I recognize patterns. People or things come up more often, which just means I derive more energy from them, which means I should continue doing them more because it energizes me for the things that exhaust me. Another thing I love talking about is the identification and the balancing of negative thoughts. That's another technique. And this is something that you can find out more about if you listen to my podcast on emotional tilt. Now, the idea behind this is identifying when we're stressed or identifying what makes us really happy, those triggers to that imbalance of emotion, whether for the good or for the bad, because either way, it can actually cause us to make decisions that we may regret later on. But if we know what triggers us either way, and we can rebalance ourselves to be using the wise mind instead of the really rational, the really emotional, we're likely to make wiser choices. Another technique is accepting and managing emotions, which can include mood tracking. Now, the reason why we accept and manage emotions is, of course, we don't want to switch our emotions off altogether. We want to accept them, good or bad, happy or unhappy, but know that they don't overwhelm us. This can include things like meditation again, which is using another technique, or it can simply mean recognizing those feelings, rebalancing them, or recognizing them and being able to let them go until such time that we can deal with them. And another technique, which I love as well, is forming healthy interpersonal relationships. These relationships work as our social support network. And research has shown since the 50s that social support is key in recovering from illness, and it's also key to thriving because collaborations can help us achieve more than we would on our own. Now, this also includes forgiveness. The reason I like talking about forgiveness is, of course, it frees us up to get on with our lives. We don't forgive necessarily for the other person. We forgive for ourselves. Now, the idea behind these techniques is not simply just to help the client feel better. Of course, that's part of it, but it encourages them to go beyond normal. It encourages them to thrive, to grow, to develop, to flourish. And these techniques can be learned and practiced and applied before the point of crisis. In other words, these techniques can always be used at any time as a precaution and as a preventative measure, but I like using them as a means to help me grow. Now, positive psychology is not without its criticisms. Like most interventions, it comes under critique. And it might be that people feel, well, if there's no condition to treat, why do you need an intervention? I'm certainly not telling you that you have to do these techniques, but for me, as I say, they help me grow beyond ordinary. The positive psychologist gives equal importance to overall physical, mental, and social wellness of the individual. So therefore, positive psychology and the techniques that come with it can work as an interim intervention. It can help for those on the waiting list for therapy. It's not positioned as an alternative. It's simply there as a bolt-on. And it can be a bolt-on to helping you recover from mental illness. It can work as a bolt-on to helping you thrive through mental health. And there are successes. Research has shown that people with a positive outlook have lower blood pressure, they've got fewer illnesses, they have faster healing times and higher recovery rates. Further, those who practice positive psychology interventions don't necessarily prevent illness, but it can assist their approach in handling it. Because positivity allows us to show more empathy and compassion, that can actually give rise to stronger social relationships, which means our positive personal support network can play a huge part in recovery. But simply having a positive frame of mind can help us recover faster. So here are some quick positive psychology tips. Number one, elevate your happiness. Make a list of the things that make you happy. Take photos of them. Write them down on post-its. These will remind you when you need a little bit of a lift. I take screenshots of things that make me happy. Don't repress, learn. Rather than burying a painful experience, ask yourself, well, what can I learn from this? If I had responsibility in, for example, a breakup, welcome it. It's not blame. It's the chance to take some power back because that's something I can control for next time. And number three, do something daily to boost your overall health, whether that's practicing gratitude. You know, you can do that. Give yourself a stretch right now and think of the one thing you're looking forward to today. It's so easy. Maybe it's exercising. Maybe it's time to take that moment to enjoy a cup of tea. Just do something which makes you smile. And that's it. Until next season. And that's all we have time for, so hop over to my website, www.draudreyt.com, for more development articles and practical tips. Or check out my YouTube channels, Dr. Audrey Tang, and The Wellness Lead for my masterclasses. And follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and IGTV at Dr. Audrey T.